Cool. So I want to hand over the mic to Gert Kloete, the best chiropractor in George. Just tell your the person next to you, best chiropractor in George.
Thanks, Omar. The only reason why I almost said that is because he's never actually been to me for treatment, so he doesn't know. For those of you who don't know me, obviously Gert Kloete, I'm Afrikaans, so if my English is very delicious tonight, then try not to laugh. I was just a little bit of background for those of you who don't know me. I grew up in Namibia. I went to German high school and then studied in Johannesburg, studied chiropractic. That's where I met my wife. And then in my first year, I grew up in a Christian family, and that was awesome. But then I never really personally had a relationship with God. Never really had that one-on-one connection. I knew about God, I knew about the Bible, and I knew about everything. I knew the principles, and it was awesome. But I never really knew God. And then in my first year of university, at the end of my first year, I went to go and visit my brother in Stellenbosch. And we fixed up this old Beetle with my oldest brother, for a Christmas present. Sprayed the whole thing and did the engine and everything. I didn't know anything about that. But that wasn't what God intended for me that holiday. My middle brother invited me to chauffeur church in Stellenbosch, and Fred was preaching there, the head pastor. I have no idea what he was preaching that day, but I just know I had a massive God encounter that day, and that day was the day that I gave my life to Jesus, and I really had a God encounter. So that's where I come from, and then from there, studied in Johannesburg, studied 7 years, got married to the most beautiful lady in the world, Nancy, the one that put her hand up just now. And God led us here to open a practice. I'm a chiropractor, and for those of you who don't know what it is, it's basically what I want you guys to do is just sit up nice and straight in your chairs, pull your tummy muscles in, shoulders back, and stay like that, because otherwise I'm going to get confused. All right. Some of you are probably seeing me here, you've laughed at my haircut. It's not something to laugh at, because Justin Bieber actually stole this haircut from me. So now that's why he's changed his haircut to something else now, because he actually realized. What he actually did is he went on Facebook and he went through all the Facebook things and he saw Gert Kloete, and he decided, wow, look at this awesome haircut. So he decided that's what he's going to do. So I'm going to use that. So tonight, I'm going to, every time that I fix my Justin Bieber haircut, I have this thing where I do, where he does what I usually do, but just this, that. Okay, every time I do that, I want you guys to go, amen. Okay.
Amen.
There we go. All right. So focus, you have to focus on me, because if you don't say it, it's going to come from one side, the people focusing. And okay. So what I'm going to talk about tonight is God's glory. God's glory, full throttle, volume one. It's actually, there's no volume two, but it just sounds awesome if you say volume one. It's like these action movies, and you always think there's going to be another one, but it's not, because God's glory is just one God's glory. All right, so we always wonder, what is God's glory? We always talk about God's glory. God's glory is manifesting, and God's glory is all around us, and God's glory is so amazing. But if you think to yourself, what is God's glory actually? And where is it? When does it manifest? How? Just so many questions around it. So we can learn a lot about that if we just look at right in the beginning in Exodus, when Moses was going to the promised land with all his people, and they were setting up little tents and things all every time they stopped. They obviously had these awesome first ascent tents and due south tents that they were putting up with the nice zippers and the minus four sleeping bags and everything. And Moses, being the leader of the group, probably had one of these fancy 4x4s with the trailers and the roof tent and everything. So that's how they probably traveled. No, it's not, but that's basically, yeah, you get the picture. But what Moses did was he set up a tent. Always there would be a group of tents, and then he would set up one tent far away from the actual camping spot. And this was a place where they would sort of encounter the presence of God, where people would go and spend time with God. So Moses set this up, and every time, it's funny enough, every time Moses went into this place, a cloud or a mist would form in front of the entrance of this tent. And Moses would then speak, it says in the scriptures, Moses would speak to God like a neighbor, one-on-one. He would speak to him like that. And in the same sense, the people that were with him, they would go and stand at attention at the fronts of their zipper tents, whatever. And so in this specific case, what happened here was Moses was actually cross with God, and he was saying, but we're going somewhere. You're telling us we're going to this promised land, but who's going with me? I'm not going anywhere if I don't know who's going with me. And God said to Moses, well, I'm going with you. I'll be there with you. And then Moses came up with this odd question in the middle of nowhere. And he said, Moses said, in Exodus 33, verse 18 to 23, Moses said, please let me see your glory. And then God said to him, I will make my goodness pass right in front of you. I'll call out the name God right before you. I'll treat well whoever I want to treat well, and I'll be kind to whomever I want to be kind. And then God continued, but you may not see my face. No one can see me and live. Just in that, I mean, in those days, before Jesus came on the cross to die for us, there was no way of getting to God or seeing his face, because his glory is so great that if the people would step into his presence, they would just die. God is just so huge and so powerful and so great. So, but thank goodness for Jesus that made the way for us so that we can actually step into God's presence. And then continuing on with that, then God said, look, here's a place right beside me. Put yourself on the rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll take my hand away and you'll see my back, but you won't see my face. So in those days it was tough. I mean, you just couldn't see God's face. You couldn't see his glory. You just die. And then after that, the whole story of when God told Moses to go and cut some tablets to put the Ten Commandments, so God could put the Ten Commandments on. Moses had to go and put them up against the side of the mountain where not even goats could see it. It must just be the sacred place. And he did that. And then after that, God continued basically what he was saying to him, proclaiming his glory, telling him what his glory is. In Exodus 34, verse 5 to 9, in the ESV, it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So God actually proclaimed his own name. He was actually bragging. He was actually saying, the Lord. The Lord was saying, the Lord. He was proclaiming his own name. And then he said, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardoned our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. And then after that, God gave his 10 commandments and that whole story. But what we get from that is just that piece where God is saying to Moses what his glory is. He's basically saying that his glory is his goodness that endures forever. And it's the fact that he's merciful and the fact that he's slow to anger and quick to forgive. And if I just think to myself, if I imagine God being good, if God had to do a good deed right now, what would he do? He would probably do a miracle. That's probably what God would do if he would do something good in my eyes. And if he was merciful, what would he do? Probably the fact that we can get salvation through Jesus Christ, and also maybe healing a few sick people. I don't know. And also the fact that he's slow to anger and quick to forgive. What would God do if he was slow to anger and quick to forgive? Is, well, the fact that he forgives our sins. The fact that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. That's just what God's glory is all these three things. So yeah, if we just see what the first part, what is God's glory? It's just that his glory endures his goodness endures forever, he's merciful and he's slow to anger and quick to forgive. And then the next part of what is God's glory. If we read, well, just in this, this is now Numbers 14, verse 17 to 21. What happened here was God was mad at his people. He actually wanted to just abolish the whole nation. He just wanted to kill everyone. And the reason why he did that is because God is a righteous-seeking God. God loves righteousness. He hates it when people are unrighteous. And that is basically, God wanted to do that. And then Moses came to him and said, but I'm going to remind you. I'm going to remind you about this. And Numbers 14, verse 17 to 21, he says, and now please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. And then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. So that's the next piece that we know about God's glory, is the first few points that we mentioned there, and the fact that God's glory fills the whole earth, everything around us. Every nook and cranny of this world is filled with God's glory because God created this place. And God created each one of us. And the fact that we invited him into our lives, that's where he is. That's where God is. That's where his glory is. So when we always wait for God's glory, please, just God's glory come. And I mean, God's glory is in us. God gave us that ability to have his glory inside of us. So those are the things of what God's glory is. So now the next question is, when does God's glory manifest? Is it every day? Is it just certain times of the day? Is it just when we feel holy? Is it just when we're praying? Is it just when we're chatting to Christian friends? When is it? We can see in John 11, verse 40, what happened there is, it's a story of Lazarus. Martha came to Jesus and said, Lazarus has died, and what shall we do? And Jesus was, yeah, let's go and wake him up from the dead. And Martha said, but he's been dead 4 days already. He's stinking by now. I mean, not even the axe that we can spray over him will make him smell better, but he's dead. He's properly dead this time. It's not just this one day flicking him up from the dead thing. It's 4 days. It's hectic. And then Jesus said to her, in John 11, verse 40.
Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So that's the first part. It's basically Jesus is just saying, we'll see the glory of God if we believe in God. So that's just the first step. That's the, sometimes you say it's the easy step, but that's just basically saying, Lord, I believe that you are God, and you are God of my life, and then God's glory will just come. All right, so that's the first part. Then we can look at the second part of that. When does God's glory manifest? If we read in 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13, the choir and trumpets made one voice of praise and thanks to God, orchestra and choir in perfect harmony, singing and playing praise to God. Yes, God is good. His loyal love goes on forever. Then a billowing cloud filled the temple of God. The priests couldn't even carry out their duties because of the cloud. The glory of God that filled the temple of God. So these people were worshiping God. They were praising God. They were calling him on his name. And then God's glory manifested in this cloud. Just, it was there. God's glory was there so thick that people couldn't even carry out their duties that they were supposed to do. It was just so overwhelming. And then, so through this we can see that when we worship God, when we call on God's name, when we give thanks to God, like these people did, that is when God's glory will manifest. Okay. All right, just to see if you guys are awake. Sit upright again. Okay. On that same part, we can read on that same question, we can read Job 38, verse 7. And Job was in a bad place here, and God was speaking to Job, and he said, where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much, who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and measurements? How was its foundation poured, and who set the cornerstone? While the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise, and who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. So here we can see that God created the earth while the angels and the stars were worshiping him. They were giving him praise. They were telling him how great he was, and that was when he was at his best, creating the earth, creating us, creating everything around him. So, I mean, that's just so great. So we can see through that God's glory manifests when we worship him and when we praise him. And it's not just any glory. It's a creating glory. God wants to create in our lives. He wants to do things. It's that same power that created the earth, that created this wonderful beach-going day that we had today. That same power that created that is what the glory that's manifesting inside us. If we praise and worship him, and if we believe, like we said earlier. So, praise and worship is what's coming up all the time. It's something that's, if we do that, if we praise God, if we worship him, God's glory will be there. God's promising that. And then, but what's the difference between praise and worship? It's something we always come to church and we say, well, praise and worship, we always praise and worship beforehand, and then we go into the service. So always two songs and then three songs and this and that. But we don't really know what's the difference between praise and worship. Well, I never knew until I did Bible school. So if you guys really want to go into depth with these things, go and do Bible school. It's really awesome. Okay, so just out of that, I took this. I didn't just thumb suck it. This is basically what is praise. Praise is usually the more up-tempo songs, the songs that we sing first, and that's usually how we praise. And then it's basically what it is it's lifting up God's name. We're telling him how amazing he is, how glorious he is, how great and how powerful he is. We're telling him that. And through that, through telling him that, we're basically moving into a place where we're humbling ourselves and getting into God's presence. We're basically stepping into God's presence. And even though God's presence is all around us, it's us making a physical step into this is where we're meeting with God. That's praise. And praise isn't just coming to church, singing those up-tempo songs, and now we're praising God. It's something that we can do all the time. Something that we can do while we're driving in our car. It doesn't always have to be song. It can be praise out of our hearts. Praise by doing something. Praise by doing a physical act, a good act towards someone. That's praise. We're praising God through that. Then worship. Worship is usually the slower tempo songs. It's usually where we've done the praise. We've stepped into God's presence. But now we're receiving from God and we're giving to God. We're basically opening up our hearts and we are listening to what is on God's heart, what God wants to tell us. It's basically what worship is. And it's basically being in His presence. And then it's also all the time. It's basically when we pray in the Spirit, when we're on our way to work, when we're at work, when we're writing exams, the students and that, when you're busy writing exams, you can actually worship God by doing that. It's your spirit praying to God, telling Him just, He's giving you that info to write on that paper, even though you didn't study it. He knows everything, so He's putting it right on that paper for you. Believe me, I've been there, He's done that. Okay, so that's basically what praise and worship is. I'm just going to read one more verse just with that. So now we basically know now what that God's glory manifests through our praise and worship for Him and the fact that we are believers, that we believe in Him. So just in Psalm 29, verse 1 to 8, bravo, God, bravo. God and all angels shout, encore, in awe before the glory, in awe before God's visible power. Stand at attention. Dress your best, like I did now. Dress your best to honor Him. God thunders across the waters. Brilliant, His voice and His face. Streaming brightness, God across the floodwaters. God's glory is so awesome. You can stand in God, in awe of God's glory. But God's glory is His visible power. God, it's not this airy-fairy thing that's out there. God's glory is so real. It's something visible that God wants to manifest through us. And so just through that, what I want the worship team to come up so long. If I can leave you guys with anything this evening, is just know the fact that God's glory is His goodness that endures forever. It's His mercy. It's the fact that He's merciful and He's slow to anger and quick to forgive, and that it fills the whole earth. And the fact that God's glory manifests when we praise and worship Him through our hearts, and that praise and worship is all the time. It's not just in church. It's through everything that we do. And what I want us to do tonight is to basically try that. Step into God's presence tonight. We're going to worship two songs now. But deliberately go into that where we say, God, we just want to lift up Your name. We want to praise You. And Lord, we want Your glory to manifest here tonight. And it's in that place where God's glory manifests. It's in that place where God shows us where we have to go in life, what's on our hearts, what's on His heart, what are spiritual gifts. God helps us to move in those spiritual gifts when His glory is manifesting. And God is here. This is what He does. It's that song, this is what you do. It's what God does, is He's here, He's manifesting, His glory is going to manifest. And we're going to trust tonight, we're going to trust that God's glory manifests in such a way that everything will happen that God said His glory is. It's basically that miracles will happen because he's good, because of God's goodness. People will come to meet Jesus, will come to salvation because of God's mercy. And we're going to just trust that. We're going to trust that God will just come and manifest here tonight. So find a spot on your own, spread out nicely, and just basically connect with God. And it's going to be a few songs in that, but if you have anything on your heart, please don't be scared to share it. Share it with someone else, or come and share it in the front with us. Come and do that, because God really wants to move tonight. We're going to see big things. We're going to really trust for big things to happen tonight.